one of the resurrection stories after the resurrection of Jesus. Luke tells about a walk that two followers of Jesus made from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It goes like this. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, now it is the third day since all these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them," this is Jesus, "Oh, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And while he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Listen. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and then he quickly vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, speak to us today in a powerful way. Speak through bread and through song and through sunrise and sunset, through preacher, through choir, through offering, with a still small voice or a loud boisterous voice. Speak to us. We're ready and we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been to Emmaus. Oh, not the one 7 miles from Jerusalem. The one I went to was a few miles outside of Little Rock, and it was at a place called the 4-H Center. Maybe some of you have been there. I didn't walk there on an Easter evening. I walked there on a weekend, the 1st of April, 2001. I know that because it was just about a month before my daughter, Annie Grace, was born. By the way, today's her birthday. My time in Emmaus was a 4-day spiritual retreat created many years ago, an ecumenical event by Upper Room Ministries. I had a friend, Larry, who had been to Emmaus as a pilgrim, and he had been back to work as a volunteer, and he was relentless. He asked me and asked me and asked me to go. I didn't want to go. I really didn't want to go. 4 days seemed like a long time. Susie was pregnant 8 months along, right? And there were all these rules that followed. Like, you can't have your watch with you. I wasn't a watch wearer till Apple made me one. Can't take your cell phone with you, he said, or a computer. I said, Larry, my wife Susie's pregnant, 8 months. He says, I'll call her twice a day, make sure she's okay. Okay. I felt like I was being cut off from the world. Isn't that what retreat is? I mean, kind of cutting off from the world. And so Larry says, I'll pick you up on Thursday. We'll go to dinner, then we'll go out to the walk to Emmaus. And I said, I'd like to drive. He says, well, there's a rule. You can't drive. The rules were piling up. No cell phone, no watch, no computer, no escape plan. What if I didn't like it? I guess my walk to Emmaus would have become my walk back to Little Rock. What struck me all the while is that Larry kept saying to every objection I had, trust me, and I did. He's a good friend. Don't anticipate what will happen. Just experience it. And then this, there will be surprises along the way. I wonder if by a show of hands, if you would raise your hand if you've ever been on the walk to Emmaus. A few of us, mostly pastors, I noticed, right? So I can't say any more about the walk to Emmaus or I'd have to kill you. No, seriously, I don't want to say more because if you're interested in going, we'll help you get there, and I want you to enjoy the surprises along the way. I gained 10 pounds that weekend. Every time I turned around, we were eating. They had something called pre-breakfast. That means you got breakfast later in the morning. There were small gifts. There were talks given by laity and by pastors. What I experienced that weekend was exactly what I needed to get ready for the birth of my first baby. Those followers of Jesus walking to Emmaus had their share of surprises too. Remember this story with me. It's Easter afternoon and evening when two of the followers of Jesus made their way from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. Luke says that one of the names of the follower was Cleopas. The other one is not named. Good news, you made the Bible. Your name's not mentioned, right? Cleopas was not one of the 12. He saw Jesus. He heard Jesus. And he had a pause on his life so that he could follow Jesus. I want you to see this. They have left Jerusalem for a village called Emmaus, some 7 miles away. I wonder maybe if Emmaus might have been Cleopas' hometown. I'm not sure about that. But as they walked along, I think sometimes they talked with one another, the two of them, and then sometimes I think maybe they were just quiet. Maybe one of them said this, I can't believe he's gone, right? Luke says sometime in that journey, in those 7 miles, Jesus started walking behind them. The Bible was clear for this with us, where it says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus kind of catches up to them. Hey, what are you talking about while you're walking here? And the Bible says that they stopped. They looked sad. And Cleopas asked, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened there in these days? He's no stranger. He's Jesus, right? He says, what things? And then Cleopas lines it out, how Jesus was a prophet, mighty in honor. Indeed, he was arrested. He was treated badly. He was passed back and forth from Herod to Pilate. He was crucified. He died. He was sealed in a tomb. Men in white were there and said that he was alive. And he's recounting all that. Imagine the scene. Jesus taking all this in. Jesus probably saying, he got it right. Mostly, right? But then we get this line. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Church, are y'all with me today? But we had hoped is there anything worse than a dashed hope? Is there? Not much more. I read this week. A dashed hope is like this. What we wanted did not come, and what came we didn't want. Can I say that again? What we wanted did not come, and what came we didn't want. That's disappointment at its peak. People are going to let you down, right? What do you do when God lets you down, or at least you think that God has let you down? Near Emmaus, Jesus gently says, you know, all this is in the Scriptures. And he started recounting passage after passage, story after story about himself proclaimed and prophesied about the future. It was a nice surprise. A bigger one's coming. It's getting late, and by the time they get to Emmaus, Jesus asks if he's going on, but they say, hey, it's late. Why don't you come in and have supper with us? Y'all have heard me say this. I'm going to say it a lot to you as your pastor. Hospitality is huge in the Bible. Amen? And I want it to be huge here. So they say, hey, stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day's almost over. I bet they're glad they did that. Because when they were at the table, Jesus took a loaf of bread. Does this sound familiar? And he broke it, blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to Cleopas and the other man. And their eyes were suddenly opened, and they recognized him. That was a nice surprise, right? And as quickly as they saw Jesus, he disappeared from their sight. And what did they do with it? Well, they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples about it. There's a lot of running. That's a 14-mile round trip, if I'm wrong. This is a great story. It rivals all the great stories in the Bible. It has a surprise. It has sorrow. It has a plot. It has puzzlement. It has a flurry of excitement and a twist at the end, right? It's a great story. And the followers, those two, say that Jesus has been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Amen? All right. Are y'all with me? I want to preach the next few minutes to our graduating seniors. And you can listen in. Because it will also affect you. You'll get something out of it too. In other words, are you ready? Here it is. High school seniors. You will not walk alone. That's one of the great messages of this story. The disciples think they're all alone. These two followers think they're all alone. High school seniors and all of us, you will not walk alone. Olivia, we're going to college with you. Is that okay? Got room in your dorm room for 120 of your closest friends? We're going with you to college. We're going with you to culinary school. We're going with you to the workforce because we promised when y'all were babies that we would pray for you, that we would teach you, and that we would be a good example for you, and we just want to see how it works out. We're going with you to college. Doesn't that sound exciting? Just brought a daughter home from college yesterday after 1 year, right? We want you to know that we are going to be praying for you and that we're going to be walking with you. We're going to be going with you. Amen? You will not walk alone. This church is firmly behind you. And when you're home, and some of you aren't going far away, ASU Mountain Home, I think is in Mountain Home, isn't it? There are churches in Fayetteville, in Newport, and I know of a good one in Mountain Home. But here's what I want you to also hear. Not only are we going to walk with you, Jesus is going to walk with you. He may be a little incognito at times. He may be a behind-the-scenes kind of Savior at times, but he's going to walk with you. And there are going to be surprises along the way. He may be made known to you in the breaking of bread or in that grade that you thought was terrible. Can I say this? A couple of months ago, Julie says, "Dad, I got to change my major. I'm going to flunk out. I can't pass this course." I said, "If you'll just hold on, it'll get better." She got a B. Right? There'll be surprises along the way. Lifelong friends that will be made. And I won't say that you will discover God in the sunrise, because you all will be asleep. But may you discover him in a sunset and in a good friend. And when you think you're all by yourself, take a deep breath and realize God is with you. So I'm saying to them and I'm saying to us, God is with us. Amen.